Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 8 through 14. Proverbs 29, 8 through 14. For the third straight week, I'm going to be ambitious and try to get through 7 of these Proverbs. The hour is late, so I can only say a few things about each one. Pray the Lord will speak to us and carry these truths to our hearts. Verse 8, scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. It is a wise man, or if a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lighteth both their eyes. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the reminder we have received of the power of the gospel to go into places where there is great opposition, and yet, as the man said in the video, the very gates of hell cannot prevail against God's kingdom being advanced. And so we are grateful and thankful that the gospel is being preached, the gospel is being proclaimed, and you as God are pleased to save and to add to the kingdom, and we are thrilled that that is true. We pray tonight that you would take your word, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would instruct us and help us as we desire to live our lives wiser for the glory of God. Forgive us of our foolishness and help us to honor and glorify you in all things. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back and look at verse number 8. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. And I want to talk a minute about wisdom and arrogance. Wisdom and arrogance. The problem here is with scorners. And scorners have become so independent that they have rendered themselves incapable of learning wisdom, unwilling to receive reproof, unwilling to hear and to learn. And the Bible teaches us that there are fools, and then that is worse than fools is a scorner. And it says here that a scorner brings a city into a snare. Or we would say this: when there are leadership that are scornful, it seems like trouble seems to come. The city or whatever they are leading tends to go on a downward spiral. It is wise men who are in leadership that turn away wrath. And it is good that there are times that there are wise men in leadership, and through wisdom, God's wisdom, they turn away anger. They soothe contentions, and they bring together those who are splintered apart. That is always, right, the promise of politicians, that they are going to bring people together, that they're not going to be dividers. And I've heard that from both parties, bringing people together, not being a divider. And we really rarely ever see that, right? Because we rarely have people in there who are willing to learn from the wisdom of God. Arrogance is not a good thing. The wisdom of God and being able to learn from His Word is good. Look at verse 9. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. And I want to talk about wisdom and altercations. Solomon says here, I think, there is no use dealing with a fool. The idea here is that a wise man is having a controversy with a foolish man. And we're not sure what the controversy is. It could be a lawsuit or it could be a personal controversy of a general nature, but we're not sure. The wording here is broad enough that it could take in several different things. But it says here, no matter what you do in trying to convince or trying to make amends with a foolish man, a lost man, a unregenerate man, that there is no rest, there is no resolution to whatever the controversy is. Now, let me say this, that is true when you try to deal with people of other religions, right? You try to speak and you try to talk and share truth with Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or Seventh-day Adventists or whoever, and when you get done, all you've done is waste your time. Amen? Because no matter what you do, whether there's rage or whether there's laughter, whether you're serious or whether you're humorous, there's no rest, there's no resolution. When you leave, you're just as far apart as when you came. And really, we try to speak to those who need to know truth, but unless God opens their eyes, it's all a tremendous waste of time. Amen. Wisdom and altercations. Verse 10. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. I want to talk about wisdom and antagonism here. This is what I want to say. The world hates the upright. If there is any intolerance, it does not lie with the righteous. It lies with the wicked. And the wicked can boast of all the intolerance they want to, but when it comes to Christians, when it comes to Christ, when it comes to the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus, there is absolutely no tolerance. Amen? They hate those who are upright. And the word here describes a strong emotional reaction to that which is detested or abhorred. What does the world truly want to do to the righteous or the upright? Well, it tells us here. What are they? They're bloodthirsty. They want to do away with Christians. They want to do away with believers. And did they not evidence that with Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, innocent of any sin, promoting love and peace and joy and happiness in and through himself, was hated. Was hated by the world and was hated by the hypocritical religious crowd. And what did they do to him? They crucified. Right? They killed him. And what Jesus says is this, if the world hates me, and it does, then it's going to hate you. The world has no place in their agenda or in their schedule for Christians. Now, they'll tolerate us to a point as long as we keep everything in our little four walls. But when we take it out, or when we take a stand against that which is biblically wrong, they're going to hate us. And the more we take a stand, the more we stand with Christ and the Word, the more hated we will become. And I know we have not seen a lot of that in America, but it's coming. It's coming. You saw evidence of it this past week, haven't you? When a nut, right? Nut walks into a community college and begins shooting people based upon whether they will proclaim their Christianity or not. Well, why does that happen? Because the world hates the upright. But what do? The just seek his soul. We don't hate the upright, right? We love one another. The righteous are to love one another. We are to seek one another's welfare. We are to minister to one another. We are to be lovers of one another. And so I guess we ought to check our hearts. Do we love the upright? Are we trying to do our best to uphold and help those who are righteous and in Christ? Do we crave that fellowship, or do we desire to serve them, or is our life nothing more than the hatred and the persecution that the world offers? Verse 11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. Now the problem is not revealing everything we know. The problem here, I think, is anger and the control of anger, even for a moment. And a fool is quick-tempered. A fool lacks control, and the lack of control of anger leaves him in a vulnerable position. In other words, when he becomes angry, he becomes verbal. Amen? And all his emotion is spilled out through this lack of control. Such a person is subject to every whim of passion that makes everything in life a roller coaster of peaks and valleys and ups and downs. There is a better way than spilling your anger. It is the way that he says the wise man acts. He keeps it. Doesn't mean he doesn't get angry, right? Doesn't mean he doesn't get angry. It means he doesn't show his anger. He keeps it. And he takes it back to his house and he deals with that with the Lord. Amen? He lays that before God and deals with it there. And so, you know, we have these psychologists, right? And they know more than God. And they say, what you need to do is you need to vent your anger. You need to vent it. Not what God says, is it? He says you need to what? You need to keep it and then deal with it with the Lord. Amen? Not vent it. Be self-controlled and then you and the Lord do work with it. Verse 12. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. If a leader sets a standard of integrity, then those around him will be found in that integrity. But a leader who pays attention to falsehoods, a leader who is less than good in his character, will always cause those around him to be the same. Right? The word false here, a falsehood, or the word lies here, is a lying word. It's a falsehood. And if he believes a falsehood, then all his ministers or all his servants will become likewise involved in that wickedness. The idea here is this. Whether we are parents or whether we are at work or whether we are in church or whether we are leaders in our country or in our county or in our city, we have influence over others. And what we do and what we believe and how we act will have influence over many who are looking at us. Amen? Parents, your children will wind up probably pretty much like you. Amen? And we need to make sure that we are talking about being accurate in our understanding, accurate in our speech, truthful in what we say and what we do. Amen? Look at verse number 13. The poor and the deceitful man meet together, and the Lord lighteth both their eyes. The idea here is that of a poor man and someone who has oppressed him, who has gained great wealth, probably through the oppression of the poor. They meet together. But there could not be two people who are farther from each other. The poor man and the rich man. The poor man and the oppressor. The oppressed and the one who oppresses. They are vastly different people. Vastly opposite from each other. Yet they come together and meet and have absolutely nothing in common. The poor have nothing in common with the rich. The rich have nothing in common with the poor. The oppressed have nothing in common with those who are oppressing them. But here they are, they're meeting together, whether that's a good meeting, an unfriendly meeting, or a neutral meeting, whatever. But they have absolutely nothing in common. Nothing in their lives intersect. But both of them need the same thing. Whether rich or poor, whether oppressed or whether the oppressor, both men need their eyes lightened by God. Both men can't see God. Both men need God. And the thing that aligns all men, the thing that brings harmony to all people is Christ. Is God opening our eyes and God opening our minds and allowing us to see and respond and understand the things of God in the person of Christ. We're here tonight and many of us don't have anything in common except one day God opened our eyes and allowed us to see the glory of Him. Amen? And what we have in common is we have received the work of God. And we have received the same Spirit through the same faith in the same God, in the same Christ. Amen? And God has opened our eyes to see that. So whether man is rich or poor or deceitful or oppressed, what all men need is for God to lighten both their eyes. See, because poverty doesn't save you and riches don't save you. We need God to save us. The evil man needs God. The poor man striving to make it through another day needs God. And the thing that brings us together, the thing that unifies us together, is that God has opened and lightened our eyes. Number 7, verse 14. the king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. Wisdom and arbitration. What do the poor want? What do the poverty-stricken want? What do those who have nothing, what do they desire? They desire a leader who will take their case. They desire a leader who will hear them. They desire a leader who they can gain his attention and they don't have to pad his pockets. And they desire a leader who will show compassion and who will show mercy toward those who are poverty stricken. They don't have the money to work their way through the court system, but they need a judge, they need a king, they need a leader who will faithfully and justly come to their aid and help them in times of trouble. And I don't know a lot about history, but I know this. There is only one throne that has been established forever. And that is the throne of David. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, the one who has taken upon himself to show compassion to those who are poverty-stricken spiritually, those who are bankrupt spiritually and have nothing, he says Christ has taken their case upon himself. He pleads their case before a holy God, and he has done the work that will justify them. The only judge that I know who will have compassion and mercy and love and loyalty and moves in truth so that his throne will be established forever is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will come again, and he will sit upon the throne of David, and he will rule and reign over all things for all eternity. He is the king that faithfully judges the poor so that in his kingdom, in his throne, it will be established forever because he is the righteous king of all people, including the poor. How many are glad that God didn't come just for the rich? Just for those who could somehow peck their way out some sort of good? I'm glad he came for those who could do no good. I'm glad he came for those who would say, we are totally bankrupt spiritually and have nothing to offer. And yet this king comes and he makes us his people. What a glory thing that is. Every king loses his throne. Every empire comes to a crashing halt. Amen? They all have. The Roman Empire failed. The Babylonian Empire failed. Every king has failed to have his throne last forever. But one will rule and reign. One will sit on the throne for all eternity. Jesus Christ. Our Savior, our Lord, our King. And He has pledged Himself to be the protector of the poor and the guardian of all. He takes up our cause. Amen. He took up my cause and He took up yours. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. We pray, God, it would be helpful, strengthening, sustaining, instructive, maybe corrective, convicting, challenging. But we pray that You would do with it as You would have to be done in our lives, in our hearts, in our church. And we thank You for our King, whose kingdom and whose throne has no end. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.